from the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. I'm Clint.
I'm Barry, and I got to be at work at 3:30 in the morning, so enough chit-chat. Let's get this thing going.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you had to get to work so early. Otherwise,
yeah, we will go ahead and get started with theme park news as usual. The big news today was SeaWorld announcing their second quarter attendance revenue figures, and once again, they're up. Which is good for SeaWorld and good for those of us who are fans of the parks, SeaWorld's and Busch Gardens and the entire company. Second quarter attendance hit 6.4 million and revenue was also up. It was, I believe, about a 5% increase for the quarter that ended in June. So once again, you know, that's two back to back now. SeaWorld sort of started turning around here.
Yeah, I was trying to get up to date on all the stats all day, kind of watching the news. It was a big every time I saw the news, they were talking about it. So, you know, any positive good news for SeaWorld right now is good news when it comes to them. So, the fact that this was all over the place was I really enjoyed seeing positive SeaWorld news on the news.
Yeah, I mean, and by the end of the day, their stock had gone up nearly 17%. So, I mean, they've been going in the right direction. I believe, you know, the festivals are working. You know, debuting Seven Seas last year and Electric Ocean, and the continued popularity of, you know, the Halloween and the Christmas, and now they're squeezing in you know, what used to be, there's almost festivals all the time now. I mean, they're squeezing in another round of Praise Wave in September before the Halloween Spooktacular starts. And then in between Halloween and Christmas, they're squeezing in a beer festival.
Yeah, we didn't, that was one thing that I didn't get up on the website was the beer festival. And I'm glad you mentioned that because that was one thing, that I got the announcement and, I actually think I tweeted about it, but we didn't get an article up or anything.
Yeah, I mean, and this is to go in addition with Busch Gardens Tampa adding their beer festival coming up here that takes place after Summer Nights ends and before Hallowscream begins. I think all these festivals have really helped attendance, the deals that they've had on annual passes and tickets.
I think one of the... one of the things we were discussing, like right before I jumped on the podcast here with some people on Twitter, is you know, the I forgot who's the CEO now that they got in place of Manby after he left.
It is.
I can't remember his name for the life of me.
Well, keep talking, I'll find it for you. interim CEO John Riley.
John Riley, thank you. Yes. We were discussing whether or not Manby should be given credit for, you know, this positive performance by SeaWorld.
I mean, he definitely initiated some of the things that have turned in the right direction, but he also did greenlight some of the things that were not really that great.
Yeah.
Attraction wise. So, I mean, I think it's a little bit of from column A, a little bit from column B. I'm beginning to think, based on some of the things that were said in the earnings call today, that interim CEO John Riley may be more than just interim, that he may be just become the CEO for the time being.
Yeah, I mean, with all this positive news, I mean, I don't really get into the politics of theme parks a whole lot, but if it seems like SeaWorld is somehow getting all their ducks in a row with all this positive news, performance-wise, with attendance and monetary aspects of the company, and if he's doing great, then, you know, hey, who's to say that he can't take the reins full-time?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's been some questions of whether, you know, SeaWorld's looking for a buyer, you know, and stuff like that. And I mean, the thing too with and I think that maybe a difference from Manby is Riley is been with SeaWorld Busch Gardens, you know, since 2008. So I mean, he obviously, you know, he was park president of Busch Gardens Williamsburg starting in 2008. So this, he knows the parks. And you know, I realize Manby came from outside, and maybe they need someone who understands the parks from the inside.
Yeah, Brian said in the chat room, Manby pulled out because Blackfish incident still crippled the company.
Yeah, I mean it is, you know, I think it seems like they have a team right now who knows what they're doing. You know, who've some of them who have been long time Busch Gardens / SeaWorld employees. So you know, it's so far they're doing everything in the right direction. And the amazing thing too is attendance being up despite your major, for at least SeaWorld Orlando, your major 2018 attraction still isn't open yet.
Yeah, and they mentioned that in the conference call this morning. They weren't too happy that they missed the big summer rush with Infinity Falls.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks, but I mean, on the other hand, you know, it's something they'll be able to tout, and since it's being Orlando, it'll be more than warm enough for riders on Infinity Falls, you know, for most of the rest of the year. So
yeah, I mean, you know, SeaWorld's local, you know, the annual pass holders is a huge market for them, so I don't think there's going to be any shortage of riders for Infinity Falls, even with its late opening.
No, and I think, like you said, it's all part of you know, expanding the offerings of the park, much like, you know, Sesame Street. They've pretty much said is on target for spring of next year, and I really think their plan is to get that thing open before it, you know, they've pretty much stated they want it open before everyone else's offerings for next year, for before Universal, what, you know, the things Disney has coming online next year. Beside, I mean, even besides Star Wars Land, there's, you know, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. So I think, and the way construction's going, I think they will be done possibly maybe early spring next year.
I haven't been to SeaWorld, but the last time I was there, they've already cleared out all of Shamu's Happy Harbor, so they're really cranking to get this Sesame Street land done.
Yeah, I mean, they've got steel going up right now for the buildings.
I saw that. I couldn't tell. I forgot who posted it. But somebody posted it. I saw that picture, and I was like, is that old steel or is that new steel already going up?
No, that's new steel already going up.
Wow.
So,
that's,
I mean,
impressive.
They got to get the buildings built, and then the, you know, the older rides, they still have to go through and you know, retheme them. You know, the ones that I imagine whatever's open right now will eventually be closed for retheming. But yeah, I think they're really shooting for early spring to get that up and running, and so they'll have, you know, it's a smart addition. Like I said, you know, they have definitely targeted young. That park is targeted young kids and families. It's out of the major parks in the region. It's the most affordable, you know, between that and Legoland. But I feel like Legoland is more for younger kids, whereas SeaWorld's got more for everybody, from young kids all the way up to grandparents. So,
and I think, you know, this was also discussed on Twitter. SeaWorld could really benefit from other parks, and, you know, which is what they've kind of done recently, is and kind of position themselves as the affordable alternative to Disney, to Universal.
Yeah, I mean, with the pass holder deals that they've had, especially this year, they've had some amazing pass holder annual pass deals. You know, you got the monthly payment plan, which everybody has now, but I mean, theirs is pretty low. You know, it's the main park, at least in Orlando, that's had the attendance issues. Aquatica, Discovery Cove, I don't think they've not really had any attendance issues. So, I mean, we see every weekend, you know, for Aquatica, you know, lines to get in backed up on iDrive's backed up because of people trying to get into Aquatica. So
yeah, Aquatica, I mean, especially during like now the summer months, doesn't have attendance issues. So
yeah, no, so it's
and they're still adding attractions. They added one this year, and then there was discussion this week of new permits for a ride next year.
Yeah,
for Aquatica.
Yeah, they've added new stuff to Aquatica. Discovery Cove over the last 2 years has added a bunch of new experiences to broaden their offerings and to try to get people who've been there before to come back. So I think, you know, Orlando's always been the trouble spot. You know, we know what's coming here next year. We still haven't heard from really Busch Gardens, but we pretty much know something's coming next year to Busch Gardens. So, you know, I mean, I think so far they're making all the right moves. So,
yeah, so like I said, to wrap things up here with SeaWorld, positive news today from their earnings reports from the first half of this month compared to last year. Attendance numbers are up, revenue's up. So I hope they keep on this trek because you know, I love SeaWorld. I love taking my kids to SeaWorld. And, you know, any good news is great news for SeaWorld. So,
yeah, moving on to Tennessee, to Pigeon Forge and Dollywood with a major announcement for 2019 with a pretty big expansion. I guess it's the largest expansion ever. And it's going to be called Wildwood Grove. And it'll be home to 11 new attractions, including one new roller coaster and... That's a lot of stuff. I mean, this is a huge expansion for that park.
Yeah, I was really curious when they started teasing, because you know they pretty much announced the name before they did the full reveal, and I was really curious as to, I knew it wasn't going to be any, you know, obviously with the name Wildwood Grove, it wasn't going to be some record breaking roller coaster coming to Dollywood this year. But they have you been to Dollywood?
Yeah, I've been to Dollywood a couple of times. It's been a while though.
Yeah, I was there a couple of years ago, and this will be a great addition to the park because stuff like this, this kind of family-centered attraction, you know, area is that's one of the areas where they're really lacking in the park.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff for families and kids to do, but this, I feel, if I remember correctly, this like doubles the amount of like family stuff for people to do there. It adds a lot of extra.
Yeah, because I was trying to remember like the only family area they have there is a little corner of the park, and I remember Jordan wanting to ride the little, it's almost like the Tomorrowland Speedway. They were like little cars.
Yeah.
And that was really the only like kid centric area in the whole park. I mean, yeah, they have what's the launched coaster, Fire Chaser.
Yeah,
they have the smaller roller coasters, but this is for, you know, the whole family to enjoy.
Yeah, I think it's the Country Fair.
Yeah, I remember it was like a fair theme or something like that. But that was really the only family themed area they had for the whole park. So this will be a much welcomed addition to the park, and it looks great too. I mean, like you said, it's gonna have 11 attractions, which not all of them are rides. There's going to be shows. They're going to have a huge, I call it their tree of life, a butterfly tree that's going to light up at night, and they're going to be able to do a nighttime show with it, which looks really cool. But the six rides out of these 11 attractions, I think the coolest one is the Black Bear Trail. It's a bear steeplechase.
Yeah, I mean, it looks sort of like the...
And I have more pictures here for those.
The ones at Legoland,
the night one in the medieval section. Yeah, I can't think of the name of it.
It looks like that. And there's going to be a suspended family coaster, which I guess is the major new attraction out of all of them.
Oh, I forgot. I added more slides for those watching on YouTube. Here you go.
But I mean, there's a lot of family friendly rides. You know, and like they'll have the tree, which will light up at night. So it's definitely in a new dining venue. So, I mean, it's the biggest expansion they've ever had. So it's, you know, Dollywood's already amazing. I mean, it's got one of the, it's an amazing park in a beautiful setting. It's got probably one of the best Christmas events out of any park in the country.
Yeah, I want to go to their, they've really upped their Halloween event too, especially last year. They added, I can't think of the name of it, but they really upped their.
Yeah, they didn't really do much of anything. They really avoided Halloween for years, and then they started their Harvest Festival, which runs the September 28th through November 3rd, and the big thing they started was the Great Pumpkin Luminites.
That's what it is. That looked really cool.
Are doubling in size this year. Yeah, and, yeah. And that's what is amazing at Christmas is the park is covered in Christmas lights everywhere.
And if you're lucky, wouldn't you get some snow? I mean, being up there in the Smokies.
Actually, the last time I was there, it did, not while we were in the park, but it snowed like right before we got up there, and it actually snowed on our way out of there.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to get when you go up there during holiday time. You could end up with snow. There's a ski resort over in Gatlinburg.
Yeah, no, the whole area up there, whether you're in Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, it's a beautiful area. But going back to Wildwood Grove, I'll run through some of the other rides really quick here. We mentioned the Black Bear Trail, the Steeplechase, Sycamore Swing. It's going to be like the swing ride that they've installed at other Cedar Fair parks with the Eagle one at I can't think of the name, but and there's going to be a treetop tower, which I'm guessing is going to be like a treehouse. It says, this family tower gives guests a sky-high view of Wildwood Grove as they soar nearly 40 feet in the air. Oh, no. This is like the jellyfish ride at SeaWorld.
Yeah.
That's what that is. And then there's the Mad Mockingbird. I forgot which one that was. I saw a
picture.
I think that's a
flyer type the ones where you control it back and forth.
Yeah. And then there's Frogs and Fireflies, which is the which one was that? These friendly frogs hop up and down as they chase each other around the lily pad.
Sounds like a frog hopper.
Yeah. It kind of sounds like one to me, so
and it looks like their plan is to have this open in time for beginning of the season next year. So.
Oh yeah, and they're also going to have a 4,000 square foot indoor play place.
Yeah,
so that's pretty cool.
That's
huge.
Which is definitely perfect for that park because I mean, in the springtime and then fall and then Christmas time, it can get pretty chilly.
and also
during the summertime, it can get very hot in that place. Because you're so high up in the mountains.
I forgot when we went, but I remember it snowed, so it was early in the year when we went up there, because we went up there, gosh, I think it was the springtime. Dollywood 2019 seems like it'll be a fun time with Wildwood Grove, so I'm going to see. Luckily, my mother-in-law, she lives up in Asheville, which is, you know, about an hour and a half, I think two-hour drive from there to Pigeon Forge, so a trip to Dollywood may be in my plans next year to take the family up and check this out. So, and plus I love Dollywood, like we were discussing. It's a beautiful park. I love it up there. Eat some cinnamon bread.
Oh yeah.
And
the food is amazing.
Yeah, that was one thing, was I could literally spend a day there just eating the food. So So all right.
So in more
moving on.
2019 attraction news, Hershey Park has announced that they are updating an existing attraction. They are replacing the old Reese's Extreme Cup Challenge attraction and creating a new attraction called Reese's Cup Fusion.
Cup Fusion. I couldn't tell if that was a play on the word confusion for the longest time. I was like, are they playing on the word confusion or?
I guess it's just cup.
Cup Fusion.
Part. Cup, yeah, because writers will get the opportunity to become Reese's agent trainees at Reese's Central, a futuristic factory that runs on Reese's spirit. At the heart of Reese's Central is the legendary Crystal Cup, which collects and amplifies the love of chocolate and peanut butter to create Cup Fusion energy that powers the factory.
I
So it's a shooter ride. You know, I believe the original one.
Did you see the horrible ride it's replacing? It's so bad.
I mean, it was a dark. It was basically just a straight up dark ride that they created. Like, I want to say 2006 was when that ride opened. And Sally made that one, and Sally is the manufacturer of this one.
Yeah, it looks like it's a cool update to an old attraction. I mean, they're literally just going to be adding the screens and adding a new skin to the. I don't think they're going to be gutting it out completely.
It seems like they're going to
be a quick
adding,
fix.
Yeah, they're going to be adding new things and some new characters and replacing stuff.
We have the announcement video up on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/thrillgeek, if you want to check it out. It looks like a fun little ride. Not really much 36-inch height requirement for it, which I believe is the same as the extreme sports ride, whatever there is now. What did Hershey Park get for last year?
Wasn't this year?
What year did they get that indoor coaster or whatever? I was trying to think of what Hershey Park has gotten years past.
I know this year was the water coaster and the mat racer.
That's right. So I think the year before was that indoor, like, UV light crazy coaster. I can't remember.
Yeah, so. They added that up. I want to say.
Oh, the drop towers. Brian got it.
Oh yeah, the drop towers.
The three drop towers.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brian.
They replaced the Falcon ride. I think that was the last one in the U.S. too.
So that'll be coming to Hershey Park in 2019. So I've only been to Hershey Park once, and that was
I've been there two times, but it's been
over a decade.
It's been over a decade.
Yeah, for me too.
Lightning Racer was the newest thing.
Oh gosh. Last time I was at Hershey Park.
I missed that wooden coaster. That thing is amazing.
What was the water coaster?
Oh, the what's it? Master Blast? It was Aqua Blaster or something.
It was like a roller coaster, but it had the bucket of water that you dropped below it. It's gone now. I don't think it's there anymore.
No, it's been gone. Actually, they used the station for that for the new water coaster.
Yeah, Ryan said Laugh Track was 2015, which was the indoor coaster that I was talking about. Yeah. So, when I was there, that water coaster was new. So, but I like the park from what I can remember from it.
It's an awesome park.
If you're a fan of Ryan said, we get it. You're both old.
But it's an awesome park, and I feel like it's gotten. Probably since you and I have been like a quarter larger, they've really expanded the water park area and added a bunch of coasters. And I think they've added like five coasters since the last time I was there. So
yeah, good old Hershey. And again, obviously, if you love chocolate, that's the place to be because they have
I'm well past due for another Pennsylvania trip. It's been at least 10, maybe years, maybe more since the last time I did a Pennsylvania trip. And
yeah.
So
all right. Let's, Ryan was upset. We didn't have him on for the West Coast thing, which is this
boo-hoo.
One.
But, Warner Brothers Studio Tour Hollywood, more neat details were announced at, Midsummer Scream. And pretty much, they confirmed some of our suspicion. I mean, they announced more things, but some of the things that were confirmed at Midsummer Scream was about them possibly holding on to their IPs a little bit more tightly than they have in the past.
Yeah, I saw somebody answer. Somebody asked a question about them holding on to their properties a little bit closer and not dishing them out to said Halloween events such as Halloween Horror Nights and what have you. So that'll be really interesting in the coming years, how that, pans out if they do hold on to their stuff closer. But that was really interesting that somebody answered that, and they said the answer was a resounding yes. So
yeah, I mean, and we already knew about It and Batman Arkham Asylum, which I mean are huge things that you know, mazes that they're going to have there, which I mean they had an It one last year, but this is a completely brand new one that they're doing. The big thing, and I guess the one thing that a lot of Horror Nights fans have wanted but never got is the Conjuring universe, which is coming to this.
I was confused with the it's going to be, it sounds like it's going to be kind of like what they do here with Halloween Horror Nights. It's going to be kind of like a mashup because it's going to feature the nun too, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the description sort of, fans will fall victim to Annabelle's devious games, come face to face with demon lurking in the shadows from the latest installment, The Nun. So I imagine it seems like it's going to be a matchup, because it talks about you're getting a sneak peek into the world of paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren, which they're from the Conjuring universe. So it seems like it's going to be a mashup of different things from that universe.
Yeah, I said this on Twitter. My issue is the quality of these houses. I don't know. I haven't seen. I still want to get back to do it. I want to go and, because this isn't the first time they've done this event, and I want to go back and see how the quality of these houses are, because they're announcing all these huge IPs like It and The Conjuring. And the Freddy versus Jason house and the Batman Arkham Asylum house. But
I know someone said, like, based on Midsummer Scream, some of the people involved in this are like former Horror Nights people.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Based on some of the stuff that came out of Midsummer Scream. So
we'll see. The other thing that I don't think you mentioned was Freddy and Jason, which will be really interesting to see, because
we've had Freddy versus Jason.
We've had Freddy versus Jason, but this sounds different. If you read
this seems like it's part of they're using. It's going to be, you know, much like they have the Terror Tram at Universal Studios Hollywood. This is going to take, I guess, use the tour, Warner Brothers tour vehicles.
Yeah, it's going to be like their Terror Tram that Universal Studios Hollywood does.
And I guess you'll be navigating through Camp Crystal Lake, it's like a cat and mouse game where you'll have to face off against Freddy and Jason.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. And there's tons of other stuff. We have everything. I'm not going to sit here and bore everybody reading through everything.
Yeah, I mean, there's everything. Apparently, they're going to bring in a couple of rides. There's going to be an Exorcist 4D experience.
Devil's Drop Tower.
Yeah. You know, there's going to be authentic that's one of the things that I guess stands out is like they're... You're going to be able to see authentic props from stuff. And some of the houses are incorporating real props.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
You know, especially the It House is incorporating real props from the movie. You know, so, you know, there's a lot. This is definitely a different style of event, because it seems to combine having the horror mazes along with sort of some behind-the-scenes movie magic stuff, too, at the same time, of getting to see props and other things about and behind the scenes of different horror movies. So
yeah, no, I mean I'm not gonna be able to, but I would love to get out there and experience this. But maybe we can find somebody once they go to it to have on a recording of the show sometime.
Yep. So Horror Made Here begins on October 5th and runs on 13 nights. Tickets are on sale now, and just check the website, click on the article, and there's a link in the article for tickets. So
that's it.
That is that with that one. And back here in Orlando, the Universal announced their annual Universal pass holder appreciation days. Not much different this year. You know, there's some collectible buttons that I guess they're going to start having, you know, over the months of August and September for pass holders. There's the usual discounts.
There were a lot of people upset that they didn't do the, I get, it was the dining plan discount that they've done years past. It was like 50% off.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people upset that they didn't bring that back.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like they cut a few things this year compared to past. I don't see, unless it's I'm missing something, there's no City Walk passes.
I did
which,
not.
You know what? They haven't done that a lot lately. That used to be a very common thing, at least because Premier pass holders, I think, get into City Walk automatically, the City Walk clubs. But they haven't done anything really for Preferred, I feel like, in a while.
They haven't really done anything special for the clubs at City Walk.
Yeah, I mean, but the big difference this year is Universal Pass Holder Night is back, and it's going to be held at the studios this year. And the way they're doing it is different, whereas you will have to get a wristband the day of, starting at 10 a.m. that day. And it's basically until they run out, first come, first served.
Yeah, and it's from 8 p.m. to midnight.
And instead of what they've done where it was like over two nights at Islands and you had to sign up online.
Yeah.
But I think the bigger difference is, whereas at Islands, not everything was open, it pretty much looks like almost the entire park's going to be open for this.
Yeah, I clicked when they announced the pass holder. I was looking at the website, the official website for the UOAP night, and I was like, oh wow, they're gonna have pretty much everything open.
Yeah, which I imagine, you know, that'll be, you know, a bigger they can handle more people. You know, the biggest thing is, I mean, for me, it's like I looked at this. I was like, well, so your best thing is to basically get up, go there in the morning, get your wristband, and then come back in the evening.
Yeah, because it's on a what? What day is it on?
It's on a Sunday, August 26th.
Okay. Yeah, so, that's probably what I'll do.
I'm sure, you know, they probably did it on Sunday too. So, you know, maybe they figure some people. I think this is a better way. I mean, it makes it a little bit easier for people to do this. You basically have to show up. I would be shocked if they ran out before the start of the party.
I don't know.
With having the whole park, I mean, I imagine this now definitely ups the amount of people who can be there and it'd still be halfway decent.
Yeah, so. Like the VI pass holder event last night.
Yeah, well, we're not going to get into that. we didn't go to that last night for reasons because I was busy. But I mean, this is free. This is extra.
Yeah,
and so, you know,
I've always enjoyed the pass holder. Pass holder events that they do at Universal.
For us, it's less about, hey, let's get a bunch of rides. It's more about hanging out with friends.
Yeah.
So that's what we do during the pass holder nights. You know, it's more about hanging out with people and enjoying ourselves. So.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, when we're there regularly, it's rush, 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 you know, try and do some rides and get out and, you know.
Trying to take pictures, videos. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. You know, the pass holder event for us is like, it's just more of the, hey, let's hang out with people and do things, which is what it should be. You should be there. We can ride the rides whenever we want.
Yeah.
So it's.
I like meeting new people. So I like to take these special events that they do to kind of hang out, you know, maybe meet some new people. So, all right, that's coming up. So if you're a UOAP, we have all the details on our website and we have a link to the official website where you can get all the details for the pass holder appreciation days.
And staying at Universal, we got a few more tidbits this past week on Halloween Horror Nights here in Orlando. The first tidbit was for all three places, Hollywood, Orlando, and Singapore, where they released a new poster for Stranger Things, Artwork, I should say, not really poster, that features the cast. So, you know, as it has leaked out, if there was any doubt that people in the cast weren't going to be in the maze, this pretty much is an official confirmation, even though we've sort of known based on casting that they are trying to find people to play all the characters.
Yeah, I've gotten several emails about auditions of them still trying to cast people, so I don't know if they're having a hard time finding people that look like these kids or what.
Well,
but
from what I heard, they were too picky,
yeah,
in the first round of auditions, and now they're like
trying again,
because I mean it can't be easy to find people to play the kids, because for the most part you're probably looking at all girls, maybe mostly girls, having to play these kids, because you're looking for actors that are under 5 feet tall and really preferably around 4'10",
yeah,
I think, to realistically pull this off.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we got more details about the maze. Some of it came out of Midsummer Scream, where, you know, they've created, you know, the Demogorgon. You know, it's got like 3D printed teeth, and it was some of the things about the Upside Down, how the different, some of the materials they're using for the Upside Down, and
I remember something about projection mapping. They're really going to utilize projection mapping in the house.
Yeah, projection, and I can't remember off the top of my head. But I mean, they are trying to authentically recreate specific scenes. You know, it's
the description that they gave in the picture with the new picture is really interesting. I'm gonna read it. It's a little lengthy, but I think it's worthy of reading it. It says, working collaboratively with Netflix, along with the creators and executive producers of the blockbuster series, Matt Duffer, Ross Duffer, and Sean Levy, right?
Mm-hmm.
The maze will be an authentic representation of Stranger Things, designed to transport guests into artfully recreated scenes and storylines. From the menacing Hawkins National Laboratory under the U.S. Department of Energy, to the buyer's home adorned with an erratic display of flashing Christmas lights and the eerie upside-down woods oozing a shower of floating orb-like spores. The chilling new maze will offer surprising twists and unexpected turns around every corner. So there you have it. That's the new description we got of the Stranger Things house, which is coming not only here to Orlando, but Hollywood and Singapore as well. I keep forgetting that Singapore is getting the house. So, I'm really interested to see how they're gonna do. There's gonna be different, you know, they're gonna have to transition from, you know, the real world to the Upside Down. I'm really interested to see how they do that. It's just this house is gonna be something else. I'm really excited.
Yeah, no, I mean it's definitely, you know, at the Midsummer Scream they tease some of the things coming, more things coming, including they showed some of the masks for the Killer Clown scare zone. This week we saw a picture of one of the pieces for Carnival Graveyard.
Oh yeah, that was really cool, the giant facade thing that they have hanging up with the power lines and everything.
Yeah, and then of course the biggest leak that came out, the unofficial leak that came out this week was once again someone at marketing released something before they were supposed to.
Yeah, it wasn't Publix this year. It was it was a hotel or something, right?
It was something that was on, I'm assuming, was like rotating on a screen at a hotel for like advertising different theme park stuff, and basically saying, oh, Halloween Horror Nights 2018, Stranger Things, Poltergeist, and Halloween 4.
Yeah.
So those had been rumored. It's been some of the things that have popped up in the rumors, but, I mean, this is pretty much a confirmation of those rumors. This seems to happen almost every year, that some piece of marketing leaks – Before it's supposed to.
And like I said, it's always usually Publix with their cardboard cutout displays.
Yeah, something being put out before it's supposed to be put out. But this year it was obviously some sort of file that was released before it should have been. Which, you know, apparently from some of the insiders we know, is not very shocking that this keeps happening. So.
Yeah. But we'll hopefully get, I mean, you know, if that sign is true, well, hopefully we're getting close here. They're going to have to start cranking out. I mean, they've been kind of quiet the last couple of weeks here.
Yeah, I imagine we're going to start getting one a week.
I would imagine soon they're going to start kicking things into high gear here and get the rest. I mean, we still have, what, five houses left? Which is ridiculous. Every time we record this podcast and I say, you know, there's six houses left.
Yeah, I think it's five.
Yeah, I think it's five. It blows my mind that, you know, we have that many houses left, and we have everything that's been announced up to this point has just been unbelievable. And everything that's rumored to be coming out is just as amazing. So,
some of the rumors that have come out is there's a rumor that Netflix is allowing them to use kid actors for Stranger Things. I will be interested to see. That would be something that I don't think has ever been done before. We know that there will be puppets and actors for the Demogorgons. Skywalker Brian says waffle scents have been confirmed.
Hashtag confirmed for the waffle scents.
But yes, we do know, you know, the lead, there has been a leaked out full list. But we usually try to, we talk rumors, but we don't really want to leak out. You know, for those of you who are waiting for the official stuff, if you want to find the leaks, you know where they're at.
Yeah. We don't really discuss that stuff on here just because, you know, they don't, Universal themselves, they don't condone that sort of thing, and neither do we. I mean, I love talking about rumors. I love it, but
We talk rumors, but we're not gonna confirm anything until we actually get real confirmation. So.
Yeah. So, but I'm guessing here in the next couple of weeks we're gonna start rocking and rolling with the announcements. So.
Yeah, I mean, you might get one tomorrow because tomorrow's Tuesday will be Disney's earnings call after. And you know how Universal likes to, if Disney likes to drop information, Universal, for some reason, Orlando likes to turn around and
Like they did with the Chucky announcement with Toy Story Land.
Yeah, so I mean, we'll see. I expect one a week almost for the remainder until
just right before. Right, just before expect a lot more Horror Nights coverage, because once you're done with announcements, the event's going to start. So
I think that's it for theme park stuff this week.
I think so. There was, like I said, when we were talking about SeaWorld, there was the beer thing. There were a lot of little announcements this week in regards to theme parks. But I think that was it as far as what I wanted to discuss tonight. And I know you got to get to bed because you got to be up at 3 a.m. So let's quick talk about what do you want to do next?
Couple of quick pop culture news things. One of the biggest things that was dropped over the weekend was the fact that Patrick Stewart is returning to Star Trek. Captain Jean-Luc Picard is coming back in a brand new series for Star Trek on the CBS All Access platform, which is currently home to, I believe it's what, Star Trek Discovery. And apparently, I guess they had planned to do some other Star Trek shows on this platform, and he signed a deal to return as Captain Picard. Whether this will, they said it's not a Star Trek Next Generation reboot.
What is this going to be on?
The CBS All Access app.
Okay, so it's going to be on their like streaming thing.
Yeah, gotcha. That's where that Star Trek Discovery show is, and they've got a bunch of other original shows that are only on that app.
Gotcha.
Which, you know, you guys wanted to cut the cord from cable, well, now you're going to get, like, 100 different apps that you'll have to pay $7.99 to $9.99 a month. So, yeah, I mean, this is a new show. You know, they'll be returning to this character. They say it's not a Star Trek Next Generation reboot, but come on, you gotta imagine that characters from that show are gonna show up on this show.
Yeah, because I mean, not to be morbid here, but a lot of them are pretty much still alive, right? I mean,
almost all of them are still alive.
Yeah. As I said earlier on Twitter, I have no interest in Star Trek, but I know the basics.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely watched Next Generation back when I was younger. I haven't really watched the new series because it's on an app.
And, of course, the movies.
Yeah, and I've seen all the movies. So, I mean, Next Generation is still one of the most popular Star Trek shows. It's rerun constantly.
Yeah.
And Patrick Stewart's awesome anyway. And so, you know, this is definitely something that might can get me interested in signing up for this platform and checking out this show whenever it debuts, which I imagine at the earliest it won't be till sometime in late 2019, I would guess. So
yeah, and if you're watching on YouTube right now, I have his tweet and his he released like a little statement, and his you can visit his Twitter handle at Sir Pat Stew, STEW. So if you want to see the tweet for yourself, that's where it is. So anywho, like I said, Star Trek is not my cup of tea. It never has been. Would this possibly be something that I could get into? Maybe. But I've never been a Trekkie.
Yeah, I mean, Star Wars has always been
been
my favorite thing. But I'm one of those people. I liked both.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, there used to not be much. There used to be Star Wars. Star Trek was first, and then Star Wars. And that was about it when it comes to, like, space stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't much. Not like there is now. So.
Yeah. And you saw Teen Titans Go to the Movie.
Yeah, I got to finally check out Teen Titans Go to the Movies over the weekend, and I'm not one of those people. I like Teen Titans Go. I'm not one of those people who hate it. It's a funny show. You know, I love the Teen Titans cartoon, the original one, but I like Teen Titans Go too. It's funny, and it is what it is. The movie was hilarious. I really enjoyed it. It poked fun not only at DC superhero movies but superhero movies in general, and it was a great fun time, and really enjoyed the story. And there was an interesting mid-credit scene. You know, it's I don't think it's really a spoiler anymore, but you know, during the mid-credit scene, the Teen Titans from the original series showed up.
Oh, really?
Telling viewers they found a way back. So,
interesting.
Some people are like, so are they bringing back the original Teen Titans? There seems to be some up in the air whether this is going to happen or not. But overall,
interesting.
I mean, with the DC launching their app, and they brought back Young Justice for that. It wouldn't shock me if they brought back the Teen Titans for that. So the original ones, at least.
Yeah, I was shocked when I think it was last week I looked, and Teen Titans Go to the Movies had 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's a funny movie. They sort of took the humor of the TV show and amped it to 11, just it did a lot of poking fun at superhero movies, and even all the way to a cameo by a certain Marvel true believer showed up in the movie. So
I'll have to see if I can. I think Jordan wants to see it, so I'll have to see if we can get over to the Springs and check it out. Because
yeah, thank you AMC A-list, because
I gave him the choice last week of Hotel Transylvania 3 or Teen Titans, and he chose Hotel Transylvania. So I was hoping he was going to pick this, but he picked Hotel Transylvania, which, you know, I mean, we have a few minutes here. It was funny. I mean, like I've said before, those Hotel Transylvania movies are kind of my guilty pleasure.
They're silly humor. They're silly, but they're well done.
This one, I think, was probably the worst of the three. The villain, the end story. I mean, I fell asleep in it. Jordan had to wake me up. Put it that way. And we saw it at like 3 o'clock in the we saw it at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I wasn't tired. But this one was kind of cute because if you've ever been on they go on a cruise.
To Atlantis.
And if you've ever been on a cruise, there's a lot of jokes that they poke fun at, you know, things you experience on the cruise, especially parents with kids. There's a lot of cute, funny jokes in it. But I would say this is probably the worst of the three. And I think they need to stop after this one because, it wasn't horrible. Anyways, I'll see if I can get Jordan out to see this because I really want to see it because we've seen the me and him will occasionally catch the Teen Titans Go cartoon. I love the cartoons, so I really want to see this, and he does too. He picked for some reason Hotel Transylvania 3. So, anyways,
all right. Well, I think that is it. Go ahead and wrap this up this week. We are at Thrill Geek on Instagram and Twitter. Facebook.com/ThrillGeek. Please follow and like our Facebook page. If you're listening live right now, it's YouTube.com/ThrillGeek. Please subscribe to our YouTube page, and we have the video of the Wild Grove Dollywood announcement trailer, Reese's Cup Fusion.
Yep.
Coming to Hershey Park in 2019. That is up right now. And don't forget to check out all our other videos available on our YouTube channel. Remember, ThrillGeek.com for the latest in theme park and pop culture news. And you can get the podcast, ThrillGeek.com/podcast, and click on the podcast page and subscribe via iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Anywhere where podcasts are available.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
I think I've officially stopped trying to get the podcast on. I mean, I got the big ones. We're on the iHeartRadio. We're on Spotify. Those were the two big ones that I really wanted to get us on. But all the other podcast apps, it's automatically updated. So as long as you're, as soon as we post a new one, whatever podcast app you use, if you just search for the Thrill Geek podcast, we will be there in your pocket.
Yes.
All right. What do we got else? Anything we got coming up here?
I'm sure we'll get more Halloween Horror Nights announcements. We got the Mickey's Not So Scary Christmas party.
Mickey's Not So Scary Christmas party. You do need to get to bed.
Halloween party kicks off August 17th. So we're getting close to that. And like I said, we'll be going to the VIP pass holder nights for Epcot coming here in, I believe it's beginning of September 6th. So
yeah,
all kinds of fun. And I'm sure soon we will start having some construction scare zone construction pictures coming to you on the Twitters and the Facebooks.
Yeah, you know, a lot of the people are out there at the parks now, like taking pictures of lights going up, and I'm like,
are you kidding me?
Are those already there? You know, I mean, I get it. You know, everybody's excited. I'm excited, but I
want to see some actual props and things going up.
I wait, at least with Thrill Geek, I wait to go to the parks until we start seeing props and, actual stuff going up. I don't have the time to go. I mean, God bless these guys that do go out there and take pictures of all the lights and, the technical stuff going up. But you won't see any Horror Nights coverage from us until
it gets up. And remember, especially follow the Facebook page because we do live streams from the parks usually a few times a week. So
yeah,
you never know. Usually when we pop into the parks, we'll walk around and talk. So
yeah, walk and talk. So apologies, Joseph. Hopefully we'll get you on next week. He ran into some issues with his internet, I guess.
Yeah.
So he really wanted to talk about Christopher Robin. I've saw it, so I told him we'll hold off on talk. Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it today.
Okay, cool. So we'll hopefully he'll get his internet fixed.
I cried.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh my God. So hopefully we'll have him on next week if he gets his internet situation figured out. But we were going to have him on today and he ran into issues. So
when you know me, I get emotional in movies. Real life, not so much. But in movies, yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, I'm going to kick us out of here. So thanks guys for listening, and we'll see you guys again next week.
See you in the parks.